Let us look to the Lord for a word of prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, we come today grateful for this privilege and opportunity to witness and to worship. We thank you for how our children have led us marvelously in worship. Thank you for them greeting us and praying and reading scripture and welcoming and being a part of this worship. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, even now, somebody may be hurting, somebody may be burdened, somebody may have a heavy load to carry. Lord, you said in your word that your word never goes out and returns again void, but it always accomplishes that you send it. So we ask in Jesus' name today, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is my prayer. For Christ's sake, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thank God for our young people who have blessed us today. Amen. For the officers, for the members, for our visitors and friends, we certainly thank God for you choosing Morningstar to come and worship with us today. Certainly good to see Mother Cora Smith back in the number.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. She's tough. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Deacon James Bowman, who on Saturday before last had us treated us to a Sunday school breakfast at Golden Corral. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deacon Bowman. That was for everybody, but if you missed it, you missed the treat. We had us a time. Amen. I don't want to hold you too long today, but I want to call your attention to a portion of scripture that was read earlier from 1 Samuel chapter 14. In its entirety, but for our textual reference, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 6 through 10. First Samuel, chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and verses 6 through 10. According to the New King James Version, you will find these words. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which was in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hands, and this will be a sign to us. The word of God for the people of God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, breaking ranks. Breaking ranks. Thank you, ushers. As a newly enlisted soldier in the military, one of the first things that you are taught is how to stand in formation with other soldiers. Young soldiers are taught how to assume the position of attention, be at ease, parade rest. They are also taught how to march in formation, to run in formation, and to do everything as a unified group. They are assigned to a squad, which makes up the ranks. The ranks are usually made up of four squads, and soldiers are taught to stay in their ranks unless they have been given permission to leave the ranks. Anyone who leaves without permission is breaking the ranks, and breaking ranks is frowned upon, not advised, and you could get in trouble if you do it. In most units, there are as many as four times a day that people are expected to be in formation in your rank. PT, before the sun comes up, O Dark 30. The duty formation, which sometimes is 8:30 or 9 o'clock. The formation after lunch. And then the recall formation at the end of the day. If you don't have an excused absence, and you are out of ranks, disciplinary action will be taken. In our text, Jonathan and his armor bearer were out of ranks. The scenario for our scriptural scene was set in the preceding chapters with their arch rival and national enemy, the Philistine, gathering their forces determined to attack Israel. The Bible record says they had 30,000 chariots of iron, 6,000 horsemen, and their army was so numerous that the writer said they were like the sand on the seashore. When King Saul started out, he had 3,000 mighty men. 2,000 were with him, and 1,000 was with his son Jonathan. When they learned of the Philistine plan, they sent out a call to arms. The men of Israel respond, but when they saw the size of the opposition gathered against them, most of them ran and hid out in caves and crevices, and some even crossed the Jordan to put as much distance between them and the enemy as possible. Y'all know the story, don't you? Well, if you haven't read it, I'm telling it. As the battle nears, King Saul ends up with only 600 men, and most of them were trembling and afraid. But it gets worse. Since there were no blacksmiths in Israel, the Israelites had to take their weapons to the Philistine blacksmith to be sharpened. And guess what? All but two weapons, King Saul's and Jonathan's, were with the Philistine blacksmith. But Jonathan decides to break ranks. This was a spontaneous event. It was not planned. No one was consulted. In fact, the text says, but Jonathan did not tell his father. My brothers and sisters, if Jonathan, in my imagination, if he had told his father, he would have never done what he did, because I believe his father would have advised him, son, that's too dangerous and that's too risky. So you just stay here with me in Gibeah and take refuge under these nice pomegranate trees. It's comfortable here and it's safe too. If Jonathan had consulted with his generals, they would have told him that this was a suicide mission and he would surely die, and no one in their right mind would try to do something so foolish. So he went without telling anybody other than his armor bearer, the young man who carried his shield. J.W. Weaver says that an armor bearer was a personal attendant of a warrior chieftain. They were servants and they were extremely loyal to their masters. That's why I don't have any armor bearers, because I don't want to be nobody's. The text says Jonathan's armor bearer followed him in the battle. It's a blessing to have somebody who has your back in a battle. Is that right? It's a blessing to have somebody in your family who has your back in tough times. It's a blessing to have somebody on your job who has your back when your boss is trying to find a reason to fire you. It's a blessing to have somebody who has your back in ministry and who won't let anybody else stab you in the back. But sisters and brothers, the greatest blessing you can have is when God has your back. Do I have a witness? Jonathan's armor bearer was a ride or die kind of friend. And the Urban Dictionary says that a ride or die means they're a fraternal or romantic relationship, partners by virtue of one's willingness and commitment to do anything for them, represented by the word ride. No matter the cost, and therefore be unstoppable only by death, represented by the word die. To be down with your husband or wife no matter what, or in good and in bad. Ride or die people in your life are those who are with you through thick and thin. They'll do what they gotta do to get through with you. They are the ones that stick with you to the end. Ride or die is when you love someone so much that you are willing to do anything for them, even if it kills you, just because they mean that much to you. Sisters and brothers, it's a blessing to have a ride or die friend. Do I have a witness in there? Because it's one thing to have people who will pray for you. It's another thing to have folks who will stand with you. It's one thing to have people who will wish you well. It's another thing to have folks who will help you do well. It's one thing to have people who will speak encouraging words. It's another thing to have folks who will give you encouraging support. It's one thing to have folks who will talk you up. It's another thing for them to help lift you up. If you're going to break ranks and step out on faith, you need people around you who will be with you. But I'm here to tell you that people like that come far and few between. If you're going to break ranks, you've got to have someone who's with you, who supports you, who believes in you, who trusts you, who's down with you, who's vested in you, and who's on your side no matter what. We don't know this brother's name. All we know that he was Jonathan's armor bearer. The last thing, my brothers and sisters, we need is doubters and haters. Because it takes courage, it takes tenacity, and it takes a whole lot of nerve to step out on faith and go against the norm and try things that people say are not possible. Am I right about it? You have to be courageous and daring to chart new territory, to beat new paths, to travel new roads, to try new ideas, to embrace new changes, to go where no one has been and to do what no one has done and to stand where no one has stood. Jonathan, along with his armor bearer, goes against protocol, against military strategy, against good battle plans, against proper procedures, and against the code of conduct. He was the king's son and his captain, but he still broke ranks. Jonathan went against official military procedures, and nobody knew that he was gone. Not even his father, the king. Not the priests who accompanied the troops in the battle. And none of the other soldiers. When you're going to break ranks, you can't tell everybody. Because everybody is not with you. Everybody won't encourage you. Everybody won't support you. And everybody won't go with you. When he went, it still looked bad. When he went, it still was dismal. When he went, the odds still were stacked against him. But my brothers and sisters, you never know what God is capable of doing if you don't break ranks and step out on faith. Am I right about it? Beloved, there has been too much lockstep allegiance in Washington, D.C. to get anything done. Because no one is willing to break ranks. Y'all praying with me? They are too busy towing the party line. Even if it means people will be hurting. Even if it means people will have to do without. Even if it means children will be adversely impacted. They were too busy trying to make President Obama a one-term president. They said he was going to fail, but God was with him. They said he would not accomplish much, but God was with him. They said he's not a good negotiator, but God has been with him. And they put up roadblocks. But God has been with him. When the health care bill went before Republican-led Supreme Court, they said, we got him now. But God was with him. And Justice Roberts, a Republican appointee, broke ranks and upheld the law. I'm still preaching in here. Oh, the Lord is with him. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to break ranks, make sure God is with you. If you're going to step out into the unknown, make sure God is leading you. If you're going to attempt great feats of faith, make sure the Lord is sending you. If you're going to climb high mountains, cross deep valleys, face difficult opponents, deal with determined devils, escape tricky traps, overcome major obstacles, and tear down enemy strongholds. Make sure the Lord is on your side. How, preacher, can we know that God is with us? Well, I stopped by here to tell you, if you are doing his will, he will you. If you let your light shine, he with you. If you're walking in the word, he's with you. If you're spreading gospel and not gossip, he's with you. If you're walking by faith and not by sight, he's with you. If you're lifting others up, not putting them down, he's with you. If we're bringing people together and not so
He is with us when we are treating folk like we want to be treated. He is with us. And if we are here a little word and do a little word, He is with us because He said He would be. Am I right about it? Ain't the Lord all right? The hymn writer put it this way. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin break a fashion, trying to conquer my soul. But the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised, never leave me alone. Hallelujah. Matthew, while closing his gospel, put it this way. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Jesus is a ride or die friend. Ain't the Lord all right? Thank you, Lord. Throughout the Bible, you will find people who were willing to break ranks for the causes of God. From Genesis to Revelation, men and women who have been willing to put their lives and their livelihoods on the line and step outside of their comfort zones, step outside of their cliques and clans, step outside of their friendship circles, outside of their kinship circles, step outside of their tribes, and step outside of their tradition, and break ranks in service of our Lord. Ain't it all right? But the truth is, some people break ranks for all the wrong reasons, while others break ranks for all the right reasons. Y'all praying with me? Some break ranks out of fear, while others break ranks out of faith. Some break ranks to hurt others, while others break ranks to help others. I wish to God that we had people who were willing to break ranks with their family members who steered them wrong. I wish to God that people would break ranks with their friends when they give them bad or ungodly advice. I wish to God church members would break ranks with those who run down the ministry and who ignore the advice of the elders, who said if you don't have anything good to say about people. I wish to God I could get more people to break ranks with non-tithers and start giving to God a tenth of what He's given to them. I wish to God we could get people to buy into the vision and stop using the excuse we don't understand the vision. How hard is it to learn how to love others? How difficult is it to treat everybody with the same amount of respect? How tough is it to value everyone the same? Am I right about it? Oh, it's tough when you're not really trying. It's tough when you're still following your sinful nature. It's tough if you're made up in your mind that you're going to do everything to make sure the ministry fails, like the Republicans do President Obama. It's mighty tough then. But I'm glad we come from a long line of people who are not afraid to break ranks for the good of their community. If Frederick Douglass had not broken ranks, slavery might have lasted a lot longer. If Rosa Parks had not broken ranks We might be still riding on the back of the bus. If Justice Thurgood Marshall, y'all not praying with me in here. If Justice Thurgood Marshall had not broken rights, segregation might still be the order of the day. If Dr. King had not broken rights, we may not have had the opportunity to vote for the first black president. Barack Obama, I don't know about you, but I thank God for those who broke ranks so we could live better lives. Ain't the Lord all right? Sisters and brothers, Jonathan displayed a remarkable attitude and opinion of God. Most of us, when we look at God, we look at God in relationship to what we are facing, what we are dealing with, or what we are encountering. And the bigger our problem is, the smaller God seems to us. We look at the problem first, and then we look to God. We look at our troubles first, then we look to God. But Jonathan looked at it different. He looked to God first. And he understood that God was able to save by many or by just a few. He looked to God first and believed nothing could hinder God. Nothing could stop our God. Nothing could get in God's way. And nothing could frustrate God's plan for victory. Do I have a witness in here? No adversary. No sickness. No problem. God is able to save using many or just a few. God can do it with a lot. Or God can do it with a little bit. Do I have a witness? If Gideon were here, he could be a witness that God took 300 men with lamps in their hands and praises in their heart. If the widow of Nain were here, she took be a witness that God did it, and her cruse of oil and her pot of meal never ran dry in the midst of the famine. If the disciples were here, they could be a witness that Jesus took two fish and five loaves of bread, fed 5,000, and still had 12 baskets left over. Those who are willing to break ranks, my sisters and brothers, see the power of God, witness the providence of God, and experience the character of God. Somebody in here right now, know that God is able. He's able. Ain't he able? Thank you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. If I was in a Holy Ghost church, I'd say, help me, Holy Ghost. Because breaking ranks is dangerous. Breaking ranks is risky. Breaking ranks will cause you to be an outcast. Breaking ranks will cause you to be looked down on. Breaking ranks will cause you to be talked about. And breaking ranks can get you healed. But I believe every family needs a Jonathan. Every business needs a Jonathan. Every church needs a Jonathan. Every ministry needs a Jonathan. And every group needs a Jonathan. Somebody who is willing to step out of line to get other people back in line. Do I have a witness here? The first time Jonathan broke ranks, it was during the battle. But it wasn't the last time he broke ranks. He would break ranks with his family. He would break ranks with his father, the king, and side with David. His church, it takes integrity and it takes spiritual power to be willing to break ranks with a family member who is wrong. If it had not been for him breaking ranks, King Saul would have killed David. If it had not been for him breaking ranks, David might not have ever become the king. If it had not broken ranks, he could have said, I'm the next person to be the king of Israel, to be the leader of the nation, to be in charge of this group. But Jonathan broke ranks, and the text says Jonathan came up with a signal to prove that God was with him. Y'all praying with me? Sisters and brothers, there ought to be a signal that God is with us. There ought to be a signal that God has favored us. There ought to be a signal that God is on our side. There ought to be a signal that lets us know God is in the midst. There ought to be a signal that tells people, leave us alone, because God's got our back. But I'm mighty afraid in this era of health, wealth, and prosperity, we got our signals mixed up and messed up. But like Jonathan, we have a signal. Ain't the Lord all right? We got a signal. Our signal is the cross. Our signal is a crucifix. Our signal is Calvary. Our signal is Golgotha's hill. That's why Jesus said, if anyone will be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Do I have a witness? The hymn writer knew something about a signal. That's why he asked the question, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. He kept on writing, talking about the signal. I heard him say that consecrated cross out there, till death shall set me free, and then go home, my crown to wear. There is a call for me. There is a signal. But this signal means some suffering. This signal means going through. This signal means some pain. This signal means some burdens. This signal means some trials. And this signal means some tribulation. But don't worry about it, because this signal also means salvation. It also means deliverance. It also means victory. It also means joy. It also means hope. And it also means brighter days are ahead. Thank you, Lord. Ain't it all right? Thank you, Lord. Ain't it good? Ain't it good? Ain't it good? Ain't it good? Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Hey, he's all right. Well, I've held you too long. I've held you too long. But I'm reminded of a story titled God is Good. The story goes that two men set out on a journey together. They took a donkey to carry their packs. They took a torch to light the way at night, and a rooster who was a friend of the donkey. The rooster sat on the donkey's head during the entire trip. One of the men was a man of faith, but the second was an unbeliever and a skeptic.
On the journey, they frequently spoke about Jesus. In all things, God is good, said the first man. The other man said, well, we will see if your opinion is true during the trip. Shortly before sunset, the two men arrived at a small village where they looked for a place to sleep. Despite their frequent requests, no one offered them a place to stay. Reluctantly, they traveled about a mile outside of the town where they decided to sleep. I thought you said God is good, the non-believer said sarcastically. God has decided this is the best place for us to sleep tonight, replied his friend. They fixed their beds beneath the large street just off the main road that led to the village, tying their donkey up about 30 yards away. Just as they were about to light the torch, they heard a horrible noise. A lion had killed the donkey and carried it off to eat it. Quickly, the two men climbed the tree to stay out of harm's way. You still say God is good? The unbeliever asked angrily. The other said, if the lion hadn't eaten the donkey, he would have attacked us. God is good. Moments later, they heard a cry from the rooster that sent them further up the tree. From their vantage point, they saw a wild cat carrying the rooster away in his teeth. Before the unbeliever could say a word, the man of faith declared, the cry of the rooster has again saved us. God is good. A few minutes later, a strong wind arose and blew out the torch. The only thing the men had to see in the black of night. The unbeliever taunted the man of faith. Well, I guess it appears the goodness of God is working overtime this evening. This time the unbeliever remained silent. The next morning, the two men got out of the tree, walked back into the village to get some food. But when they got there, they discovered that a large band of outlaws had swept into the town the previous night and robbed the entire village of all of their possessions. With this, the man of faith turned to his friend and said, finally, it has become clear. Had we been given a room in the village last night, we would have been robbed along with all the other villagers. If the wind had not blown out our torch, the bandits who traveled on the road near the place where we slept would have found us and taken all of our goods. It's clear that in all things, God is good. That's what I want to leave you with. God is always good. Am I right about it? Some people only see God's goodness in the light of day. But we have to learn to see God in the darkness. When the shadows fall, God is good. When the clouds hang low, God is good. When we lose what we have, God is good. When enemies are all around, God is good. When sickness attacks our bodies, God is good. When we can't see our way, God is good. When we're hurting, God is good. When we're going through, God is good. From the rising of the sun, the sad never say, God.
take a risk who will not compromise. With all who not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth. Who know how to say no even when the world says yes. If you will do that, there's one more signal. Because I heard Paul say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with him, with the Lord forever. Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't it good? Has he blessed you? Won't he make a way? Won't he bring you out? Won't he pick you up? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Has he done it in that place? Don't fool me now. Has he made a way?
What we're dealing with now is not as good as what we're going to see. Am I right about it? We may see frustrations. We may see problems. But what's coming is better than what's been.